All right, if I could have your attention, settle down. No, seriously, people, I got four more villages I got to get to tonight, so if you could just be quiet for a minute. I got a message from Moses. I have heard enough Moses jokes to last me a lifetime. Thank you very much. I don't need one more. No, this one's good news. No, it's got nothing to do with frogs and beetles. No. Moses says this is it. Ha-ha! This is the beginning now. We're gonna have a big dinner, and then we're going to go. No, we're going home. Well, to Abraham's land, you know, up there where it's supposed to be all nice and stuff. You don't want to stay here. We're slaves here in Egypt. We weren't made for this. We're made for more than this. You don't want to keep hanging out here being someone else's go-to boy. No, we're going home. We're going to be free. Yeah, but this is what we got to do, though. You got to take a lamb. It's got to be a perfect lamb. Moses said you got to check it out for a few days, make sure that thing is perfect. Then you're going to slaughter it, and you can take the blood, and you're going to put it around the door. No, around the door. I don't care what it smells like. You're not going to be there in the morning. And then you're going to roast the lamb, and you're going to eat it. Eat it all, because we're going to do some heavy traveling once you get through that thing, I tell you. Well, no, God has called us to be his people. That's what Moses is saying. Now, Moses is saying this. Don't throw nothing at me. It's kind of like he's marrying us. He's calling us to be his bride, and he's taking us to his home. So this is kind of like a marriage supper of lamb, if you want it. Yeah, so we're going to eat the thing, got to eat the whole thing up, and then get ready to move. Now, it's going to be the 15th, so it's going to be a full moon. We're going to be moving at night. But don't forget, you got to put the blood around the door first, because that's what's going to be the big deal here. See, God's going to, well, we're going to call it a Passover. No, a Passover, yeah. Now, that's where it gets a bit tricky. Moses said it in a couple different ways. Well, he said that when God sees the blood on the door, that he's going to pass over to the next family. And then in a house that doesn't have blood on the door, well, the firstborn child is going to die. I know it's not fun, but you don't have to worry about it if you got the blood. But he also said it another way. He said that when God sees the blood on your door, he's going to pass over you like a hen puts her wings over the young, and then the angel of death is going to go by to the next house. So I don't know if God's the judge who's passing over, or if he's your savior that's going to pass over you. I think it may be both. I don't really know. But anyway, you don't have to understand it. You just have to be ready. So you get the lamb. You get the blood, you put it on the door, you eat the lamb, and you get ready to go. Don't forget, even our grandpappy Joseph, he was prime minister down here in Egypt, but his heart was always back home in Abraham's land. When he died, he said, "You don't bury my bones here. You're going to take them back to that land that Abraham had." So we're going to do that. Even though he was a prime minister of Egypt, he didn't want to stay here. We're going to take his bones with us. We're going home, folks. This is Passover. And you know what? We're going to celebrate this every year. Oh, yeah. This is going to be the beginning for us. This is, I don't know. We could be celebrating this thing for another 20, 30 years. Right. 1,500 years since Moses gave us Passover. And it's the best one ever. Look at this. Look at this city. Good morning, Jerusalem. Look at this. All these people here. Come to the market. We have I got cloth for you, huh? Look at some of these nice cloths. What are you selling? Oh, baskets. Yeah, they're nice. Sure, they're nice. Look at this, huh? There's some nice cloth I have for you today. Oh, this you like. This is, there's a prayer shawl in. Look at this, ready-made already, huh? Your wife doesn't have to make it. It's got the sleeves. That's a nice piece right there. Look at that. Oh, it's going to be a good day, huh? Look at all the people coming from all over the empire. Look at this, bringing money from all over the empire. Oh, this is so good. Well, this one you might not want to buy. We'll save that for the bad guys. What else? We got so many good things. Oh, this is a nice piece. I wanted to keep this for myself. Look, you'll buy this one. You'll take it home, huh? You'll tell the people, look, I bought this when I was in Jerusalem for Passover. They'll think you're a righteous man. Or not, whatever. Okay. Oh, it's going to be a good day. I sold almost everything yesterday. And we got some cheap stuff today, but they don't know. They'll buy it. They'll love it. It will remind them of Passover in Jerusalem, huh? Hey, did you hear? They finally grabbed that guy. Yeah, that Jesus guy. Man, he's a bad one, huh? Talking about tearing down the temple, talking about some new kingdom. What's wrong with this kingdom? We make a fortune off this kingdom, huh? Hey, come, you want to look? You look, first customer for today. Good luck for you, good luck for me. Okay, have a nice day. Tell you, troublemakers like Jesus we don't need, huh? People from all over the world come. The temple is gorgeous. They come to see it. They leave some money behind. That's good for everybody. Oh, I tell you. They got to get rid of guys like Jesus and those troublemakers and the holy man and just let business happen. This is how God blesses us, huh? In the pocket, this is how God blesses us. So we got it ready. I got more stuff here. That's a nice little piece here. Madam, you like this one? I think this one will make you look 10 years younger, huh? Maybe not. I'm not a miracle worker. Okay. Oh, Passover's good in Jerusalem, huh? Oh, it's so good. Every year's getting better and better. I can't wait to see what happens next year. More people will come bringing more money. They will visit the temple and they'll stop by here. What's the harm a little bit with that, huh? I tell you, it's Passover, baby. We're going to make a killing.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Sin upon His shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, sins have paid my ransom.
My dear, I'm really in the midst of something. We've got a trial going on. Yes, I understand. It's something's important, but it's a sham trial, but it is a trial, and I must get. You had a dream. Well, that's a nice thing to talk about, but I'm busy, dear. It's Passover, and there's. I'm sorry. Please tell me about your dream, dear. You had a dream about a man. My dear wife, I thought I was the only man that haunted your dreams. Jesus? But Jesus is the one on... Is there anything in this dream of which I should be jealous, my dear? Oh. No, I'm sorry. I didn't... No, that's terrible. I'm sorry it's caused you such pain. Well, the priests, the Sadducees want to get rid of him because he's talked about tearing down the temple. And the priests are the best thing we have right now for keeping the people together and quiet and calm. And they're on the verge of rebellion otherwise, so we must keep the priests happy. So they want him, yes, they want him killed. Well, you see, but we took away the power of killing from them, remember, dear? So the only way they can do it now is crucifixion. And I don't think that he needs it, deserves it. No, I think he's quite a nice fellow. He's wise, he's articulate, he's kind, and this is all, well, he's having a very bad day, you have to admit. So I find no fault in him. I can't think of a reason to... Dear, there's more to it, though, dear. I mean, you remember our good friend Sejanus talked to Emperor Tiberius and got us our posting here. And I said, Pontius Pilate, you will be the governor of Judea. We thought, what an adventure. What possibilities for our future. Sejanus was our best friend, our greatest support. And then he tried to overthrow Tiberius. Not a good plan. They dragged his body through the streets of Rome, and his followers were killed, his friends were arrested. We're lucky that Caesar's eyes haven't landed on us yet. I cannot allow this man to carry on. No, it's not what he says or does. It's what he doesn't say and doesn't do. He lets people call him King of the Jews without silencing them. He has followers who are terrorists, and he does nothing about it. If I let this man roam the streets of Judea, Caesar will hear of it. There can be no King of the Jews with Tiberius on the throne in Rome. If Rome finds out that I have let this man go, we will pay with our lives. I can't let him go. My hands are tied. I'll wash my hands. I will wash my hands of the whole affair. In public, wash my hands of it. Huh? Then, he's going to die anyway. It's inevitable now. But he won't die in our name, huh? My hands will be clean. No, we will not have anything to do with his death. We will just ignore it. That should keep the demons of your dreams happy. Should keep the priests happy, too. I hope for our sake it keeps Rome happy. The only one it won't make happy will be me. I can live with that. Oh, not again, and again, and again, and again. what we have to do, huh? That's good. This one here. And then this one here. And we're all set. It gets harder every year, Can't wait till they invent zippers. There we go. Other than that, looking good. Looking pretty good. Yeah. Oh, that's good. There we get that one. And that one there. And there we go. Lord God Almighty, I am ready, huh? My house is spotless. You see, it's spotless. And the yeast is all gone. There's not a crumb you will find. No, my house is spotless. I am ready, Lord God, for the feast of unleavened bread. Oh, I've always loved it. The challenge to cook new things. Oh, Lord God Almighty, my house is spotless. I'm ready. While I have your attention, Lord God Almighty, let me ask you, if my house has to be spotless, why does your world have so many spots? I don't mean to be ungrateful. Lord God Almighty, I'm so grateful. You've been so good to this poor girl. But I married a priest, Lord God Almighty. He was a good man. Zechariah was such a good man. For that, I'm so thankful. And we had a son. You gave us a son. Oh, it took a while. We still have to settle that. But nevertheless, for me came John. Oh, he was a good man. I remember when the angel showed up in the temple to tell Zechariah I was going to have a son, and Zechariah couldn't speak for 9 months. For that, I'm also thankful. Oh, you have blessed me, Lord God Almighty. Oh, and my cousin, Mary, with the baby Jesus. Oh, I have seen and held him. Oh, so many good things, Lord God Almighty, you brought into my life. I'm so thankful, Lord God Almighty. You are so kind. But some things I don't understand, Lord God. They took my son John, Lord God. He was a man of God. He was your man. He could preach. Oh, he brought people to their knees in the water. That's a trick. He didn't do anything wrong, Lord God. But they took him. Lord God, they took my John. They cut off his head. And you let this happen in your world. But Mary and Jesus were so good to me then. And such words of comfort they gave me. They were so kind. I'm thankful for that. Lord God Almighty, now they've taken Jesus. You let this happen. He's a good man. He didn't sin against anybody, Lord God. But they are sinning against him. Why do you let this happen? They took him and they whipped him. He didn't need that. He didn't deserve this. He's your man. You let this happen. Lord God Almighty. What could I say? I stood beside Mary. I had no words. What can I say? What would you say? Lord God, to see her this way, watching her son. I will make my house spotless every year for the rest of my life, Lord God. But what are you doing? You do nothing? Lord God Almighty, do you know what it is like to watch your own son die because of other people's sin? Miriam? Miriam? Yeah. Ah, you're all right? Yes, I'm all right. Okay, we're leaving. We are going now, Miriam. No, we are getting out of this place. We are getting out of Jerusalem. We are going home. Miriam, we're gone. You don't need to pack a few things, Miriam. I don't know what is happening. Yes, it's dark. I'm all right. You're all right. That's all that matters. It's time to go. No, we... Miriam, what's happened? I was at the temple. It's good. It's Passover. It's busy. Everybody's at the temple. I'm inspecting animals. Some families bring their lamb, children with this lamb that they loved. I'm inspecting perfect lambs, all of them perfect lambs for God. I'm working, and another priest comes beside me. He says, I'll give a second opinion. He looks at the lamb. I just said perfect lamb, and he said, sorry, sir, this lamb is unacceptable. What unacceptable, I say. He says, look, there's a scratch. He is deformed. Deformed? A scratch? Where? In the ear is a scratch. I look in the ear. It's a vein. It's not a scratch. I said, the lamb is fine. He said, you can move on now. I will take it. He said, I'm sorry, family. This lamb is not good enough for God. We'll buy it from you, don't worry. You don't have to carry it back. And we have some perfect lambs here. We'll sell them for you. Just a few shekels more. Just a few shekels more. This happens all the time, you know. But it's the temple. It's Passover. It's Jerusalem. People don't mind paying a few shekels more. It all goes to the temple. It's not so bad. But I get tired sometimes of this. So I went into the holy place. I said, I'm going to check on the incense. I love in the holy place, Miriam. By the altar of the incense, all the smells of blood and death and excrement by the altar gets a little tiring. Here we smell heaven. Huh? This beautiful curtain, this veil that keeps us from the holy of the holy places. I've stared at that veil so many times, Miriam. It is so beautiful. And I often think, I'm so glad the veil is there because it protects God from the sin of the world. It keeps God holy. So I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and then I turned to come back and I heard, Miriam, I heard a ripping sound. I thought, oh no, I've stepped on a hem. Poor Miriam will have to hem my robes again. And I looked and it was not me, Miriam. Miriam, it was the veil. It was ripping from the top down to the bottom, Miriam. Human hands could not do that. It was opening, Miriam. And I did not think about protecting God from us. For the first time, I thought, oh no, what will protect us from God, Miriam? Do you know what happens when the holiness of God confronts us, Miriam? 3,000 people die because of a golden calf. Armies fallen dead. Miriam, when the holiness of God is released, none can stand. And it tore, Miriam. The curtain to the bottom was gone, and I turned and went outside, and it was all black. Black, like you saw. And the ground was shaking. And I thought, this is it. The judgment of God is coming on Jerusalem. What will happen? He'll come out into the courtyard. There'll be a little bit of sinning, a little bit of cheating. But even that, even those little sins, what would they be in the holiness of God?
And then he'll go out into the city streets. What will he find there? The stealing and the lying and the gossip and the hatred. What will the holiness of God do with that? What would happen if the holiness of God dealt with the sins of the whole world at one time? This city would be gone. The world would be gone, Miriam. So we are going to go. I don't know how far we're going to go home and maybe farther. We'll see what happens. We cannot stay here. There will be destruction. There may not be a temple. There may not be a city here in the morning. The holiness of God, Miriam, is loose. Anyone, Miriam, anyone would pay a price. Oh, Miriam, this is worse than anything Moses wrote. This is worse than anything that we read about in the prophets. And we're in the middle of this. Oh, Miriam. Oh, Miriam. When the holiness of God confronts the sinfulness of man, oh, no. I pity any soul caught in the middle. Oh, no. We're going now. Come.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice, who became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. I'm in that place once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life. Now you exalted to the highest place, King of the heavens, and one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. And I'm full of praise once again. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. Once again I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again I thank you. Once again I pour out my life.
Amen.
Joe? Joe? Yeah, I'm here. Listen. Before we do this, I need to remind you. If we take that dead body, we will be unclean. We will be unclean for a week. That means the entire week of Passover and unleavened bread, you and I will not be able to go into the temple. People will talk. Huh? How is it that the most important week of the religious calendar, the great Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, are not to be seen? They'll know we didn't even have Passover with our families. And they'll ask why. We were unclean. We came in contact with a dead body. But they'll know no one in our families died. If we take the body of Jesus, well, in a sense, we're joining him. They will know. I mean, we've been secret followers of his for years, but the secret will be gone. If we care for the dead body of Jesus, our lives will be changed. We will lose our standing in the Sanhedrin. Our businesses will fail. And they may even come after us with threats of death. Joseph, that's the price. I need to know if you're still willing to do this. Yes, and so am I. I just wanted to make sure you knew. Identifying with him in his death could cost our lives. But even dead, I love him. So let's bury him. It's a good thing we believe in the resurrection. Silly Sadducees. The resurrection will come, Joseph, and you and I will rise. But I think, Joseph, I think that this righteous man, this Jesus, whatever he was, he will be the first to rise. I think he will be the first to rise. When the resurrection comes, it'll be for people like that. And then we'll follow. And then we'll follow. What he was, I don't really know yet. He was a teacher. He knew things I couldn't even begin to understand. But I do want to hear his next words. You know, one time he tried to talk to me about being born again. Still not really sure what he meant by all that. Someday I hope to find out.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us. The weight of every curse upon him. One final breath he gave as heaven looked away. The Son of God was laid darkness, a battle in the grave, the war on death was waged.
the power of hell forever broken. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Now forever He is glorified. Forever He is lifted high. Now forever He is risen. He is alive. He is alive. Now
Oh, centurion, I was sitting down. Yes, sir. Yes. I was taking a break. I was working hard, so I took a break. Well, I was on a guard duty, but I'm not guarding no more. Oh, centurion, I was on the guard duty by the tombs, but it's dead over there now. Oh, no, not a good joke, sir. No. Well, it's not needed guarding now, I think. Centurion, I was guarding the tomb of Jesus, you see, and the tomb is empty, so we don't need no guard there anymore. No, it's empty. Oh, what happened? Well, I was on a guard duty, huh? I was guarding the tomb, and what happened? I was guarding the tomb,
And I'm a good guard, and the two men, 100 guys start coming at me. And they've got spears, and they've got swords, and they've got sharp sticks. And they're coming, and I'm fighting 150 guys, one spear, and the strength of Rome. And, no, not quite, sir. No, oh, what happened? The truth, oh yeah, well, I was on guard duty, and an angel swooped down. Oh, centurion, you should have seen the angel of fear. And I stood up with him with a spear in my hand. I said, no angel is going to get to this tomb. And then 40 more angels. Not quite, but it's a good story. You want the truth? Oh, if you don't believe those stories, you're not going to believe the truth. I was on a guard duty. It was a tomb of Jesus. I am a Rome. I'm on a guard duty. And two women started to come. They were big women. not so big. I decided to spy on them behind a tree. They started coming down the road. But before they get there, one angel, he rolled the stone. Now, the stone had the seal of Rome, but the angel could not read. He rolled the stone, and that's it. No, I look inside, there was nobody. Nobody. Sorry. Well, the women, they must have told somebody. I stayed there, nothing else happened. Two of his friends, they come running. They look inside, there's nothing there. No, it was gone. The cloth only was there. The women, they come and they see a man. They think he works here, and they were talking to him. But I saw who it was. I saw him when he died on the cross, and I see him standing right there. The women, they didn't know who he was at first, but I knew that was the same guy. He was walking around. Yes, he was dead, but he got better. That's it. Well, he was a raising. Centurion, how much time do we spend wondering what it will be like after death? We spend our whole lives wondering what will be like after death. He knows. We just have to ask him. Oh, I knew it wasn't the same guy. He still had the holes. He looked good for a dead man, but he still had holes. Huh? No, I've never marched across the Sahara Desert, no, in the sun. Huh? No, I have never climbed the Alps fighting the Germans. No, thank you. No, I have never been on a boat in the middle of the Mediterranean. Why are you asking me this? Oh, I'm going to do those things. Huh? Join the army and see the world. Huh? Centurion, you can't stop this story. This is amazing. A man has come back from the dead. You cannot stop this story. Everybody wanted to know. It's a wonderful thing. Centurion, it's a wonderful thing. You can send me to the end of the earth. You can silence the women, but you cannot stop this story. This is great news for everybody. It's going to be a great story. Yeah, but I'm going, eh? Well, if you're going to send me to the end of the earth, I guess I should go back. People call me Doubting Thomas. That's because people are mean and stupid. No, it was after Jesus rose again. And I still can hardly remember the whole story, but see, all the other disciples, they were there waiting. They were hiding is what they were doing. I wasn't there. I don't remember where I was, but he showed up. He walked through the wall, something they didn't really get it either, but he was there. They saw him. And they told me about it. I never believe everything Peter says. Not the first time. You got to keep that in mind. He's a great guy, but he just jumps on any bandwagon going in any direction. If Jesus told him to jump on the way up, he would ask, how high? He was like that. Some guys have faith like that. They're just right. I have faith, but my faith is grounded in something more. I'm willing to believe, but God said, taste and see. I want to taste. I want to see. And then I will bet my life on it. A week later, the disciples, all of them, all those guys kept saying, you didn't believe. We saw him. How come you didn't see him? Well, a week later, I saw him. It's funny because I told them, look, guys, if I see the holes in his wrists, if I see the hole in the side, then I'll believe. Until then, well, he showed up and he said, Thomas, go ahead. He heard me. Oh, my Lord, my God. I believed and I never, ever backed off. Knowing who he is my life. Well, we were walking with him in the usual spot once up on the hill. I saw this, I believe this, you don't have to if you don't want to, but he started to float. We were always trying to figure out what we needed to do to help him and, take care of him. And he started to float. What are we supposed to do? We're getting ready. He's going higher and higher. Are we going to catch him? Is this some kind of game? He was gone. He was gone. Well, a lot of other things happened, and then we left different directions. A lot of the guys, they wanted to head up to Rome. They were really into the Greek culture and arguments and philosophy. Some guys were heading down to Egypt. Lots of Jews settled down in Egypt. You know what? I knew there were lands to the east. I knew there were Jews farther east. And I knew in some of those lands, the holy men there would sit and think for, years and years before teaching. That's my kind of faith. So I'm going there. I went to India. Yeah, Bartholomew and I. We got there. There were some small groups of Jews, some villages there, and we settled with them. We started teaching them. And all around us were these Hindus, they call them. They had more gods than people, I think, and they worshipped and they would whip themselves. They would sacrifice their children. So I got to tell them that they don't need to do that anymore. Jesus has died and has risen. And I said, you can be born again. And they laughed. See, they got this idea there that they've already been born again 1,000 times. They want to stop being born again. Yeah, that's what they think about in India. Because, you see, they explained to me that there's so much sin that they have to have 1,000 lives of being holy and trying to be really good to get rid of sin. I thought, wow, I hadn't thought of sin like that. I mean, I did think about sin. As a kid, I went to the temple with my dad, and I saw the sacrifices. And I remember the first time I had to offer my own sacrifice, the first time I'd let an animal in there knowing he would take the place of my sin, and I put my hand on his head, and the priest slaughtered him, and I watched it die, and they put it on the altar, and I stood there, and I stayed until the last ashes fell, and I thought, wow, that's what my sin does. One sin, one animal. Wow. And here are these people. They thought 1,000 lifetimes of trying hard would still not be enough to defeat their sin. I said, I got good news. You need to be born again only once more. And that'll be it. Because when that happens, Jesus will take all of those sins. I said, I saw Jesus die on a cross. I saw the Lamb of God lifted up. And I saw God deal with him and deal with all of our sins on him. And I explained to them that when Jesus was buried, he went and paid the price of the sins of 1,000 lifetimes. And then I said, you know what? He paid the price of all of your sins. He had change left over. He rose up again. That's how you know he was able to cover all the price of your sin. He had enough power to raise himself. And I tell you, I saw the resurrected Lord in their lives. They were casting down their idols. They were getting free from slavery. They were loving their children now instead of sacrificing. They were loving each other instead of living in fear of 1,000 different gods. I saw the power of the resurrection in their lives. Ah. And we traveled more. We went to other countries. And oh, I saw Jesus in those lands. But I missed India. So we went back to India. Part I hadn't been before. Now I knew the message to start with. And I went to a village and I started preaching. I had Thomas preaching, man. And the villagers came out and they surrounded and they were listening. Oh, you could see the look in their faces. There was hope. Ah, preach it, Thomas. And then I saw the priest coming out of the temple. And they were in behind the crowd and they were coming forward. I thought, yes, if you can teach the priest, you've got the whole village. And they were coming closer to me and I thought, here we go, Lord. Here we go. Here we go again, Lord. And I saw the priest come through the crowd. And they had spears. Just keep preaching, Thomas. Just keep preaching, Thomas. And they got closer, and there wasn't hope in their faces. There was anger. I told the people to stop following their gods. I guess they took it kind of personal. Just keep preaching, Thomas. Just keep preaching, Thomas. Just keep preaching, Thomas. Jesus, Jesus, is that you? Oh, Jesus. It's so good to see you again. It's so good. Jesus, I've spent my whole life telling people who you are. I know who you are. Oh, Jesus. I'm ready.
There's a peace I've come to know. Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead.
And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow and no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near when this darkness breaks to light. The shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes.
Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise, and I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb. And I hear the cry of every longing heart, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow and no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will
Amen. You can have a seat. One thing that the guard who was guarding the tomb said stood out to me, and that is, you can't stop this story. You can't stop this story. We've been going through a sermon series from the first book in the Bible, which is Genesis, and somewhere this coming fall, we're going to end up in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. And what we've been seeing is that God is moving all history towards a final conclusion. And what we witness today, this dramatization of the resurrection of Jesus, is the hinge point and the climax of all history. That's what we're celebrating today. And if it didn't happen, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that we are to be pitied above all people. Above all people, we are to be pitied if the resurrection didn't happen. So I'm just going to read that little bit of that passage of Scripture. Just a second here. So 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul says, "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news, the gospel, that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place." And so Paul is saying, was it a lie? Did we believe a lie? Because if we believed a lie, then we're all here for no reason except for to watch a nice drama. And we are to be pitied above all people. And he continues, "I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12, After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And so what Paul is saying is if you want to go and talk to a whole bunch of eyewitnesses to the risen Jesus, they're still alive, go talk to them. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him, for I am the least of the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder, yada, yada, yada. We're going to go on here. Verse 12, but let me tell you this. Since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all of our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be more pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. And every one of the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, except for the apostle John, who died in exile on the Isle of Patmos, they all died for believing that Jesus rose from the dead. And you do not die for something you don't believe in. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you can know him today. You can just say yes to Jesus. I believe that you are who you said you are. I believe that you rose from the dead. I believe that you paid for the penalty for my sin so that I could be free and live the life that you called me to live. You can do that today. And all it's pretty simple. You just have to say yes to Jesus. That's it. There's no magic words. You just say yes to Jesus. I want you to save me. And if you don't know Jesus and you want to know more, then come and talk to me after the service. Come and talk to somebody that you know who knows the way. And they'd be so happy to tell you.